As parents grow older, their prayer for their children takes on a new perspective. This is Father Scott Seethaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because the Lord cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord cares for you? St. Peter said that. I'm quoting from his first letter. Cast your cares upon the Lord. You don't want to hold on to them, do you? You don't want to make them become larger and larger because you fret and worry and won't let go? I mean, picture Jesus saying, now hand it over to me. I can handle it. Hand all those worries, fears, things. Cast your cares upon me. I'll love you. And I will work in and through you, and most importantly, with you as you pray, so none of your burdens in life will overwhelm you. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Well, Tuesdays this year are devoted to prayer. Why do I spend so much time on prayer? Because prayer is the key. It opens the door to your heart. Prayer is the key. It opens the gates of heaven. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're going to start running on empty. You're going to start cutting corners. You're going to start compromising your values. You're going to start giving in to stress. You're going to be part of the problem instead of part of the solution. And Christians are supposed to be part of the solution for the problems of the world. So you got to pray. It's non-negotiable. Until you are convinced that prayer is the best use of your time, you're not going to find time to pray. Well, the prayer that I want to share with you today is called a family prayer. I don't know who wrote this, but it really is a great prayer in my mind. Maybe you'll consider it a great prayer also when you hear it. Let me read it and then let me take it apart. O Jesus, I humbly implore you to grant your special graces to our family. May our home be a shrine of peace, purity, love, labor, and faith. I beg you, Jesus, to protect and bless all of us, absent and present, living and dead. O Mary, loving Mother of Jesus and our Mother, pray to Jesus for our family, for all the families of the world, to guard the cradle of the newborn, the schools of the young, and their vocations. Blessed Joseph, Saint Joseph, Holy Guardian of Jesus and Mary, assist us by your prayers in all the necessities of life. Ask of Jesus that special grace which he granted to you to watch over our home at the bed of the sick and dying, so that with Mary and with you, heaven may find our family unbroken in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. Well, you should really have no problem praying for your families. I imagine you have a high priority to pray for your family. It's probably right there at the top of your list of people you want to pray for. And it's important that we pray for our families, right? Because our parents are living longer and longer. It's not uncommon to have a parent live into the 80s, if not the 90s right now, and all the obligations that that incurs. You certainly want to pray for your spouse if you're married because, you know, marriages are very fragile relationships. Marriages are based on unconditional love. They're not contracts or covenants. I can't make somebody marry me, nor can I make them stay married to me. So obviously, you want to pray for your spouse if you're married. And then if you were blessed with children, you want to pray for your children. Because they're growing up in a world that does not support the values that are so important for a Christian to have in his or her life. Our children, especially our teenagers, are being exposed to so many things that are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're being invited by the commercials to be selfish. They're being invited by some of the TV shows to be sexually active. They're invited to find things funny that are not really funny because they're an attack on very, very, very sacred institutions like the church or Jesus himself. They're being invited in certain settings where teachers feel very, very comfortable saying that they're atheist. And in saying that they're atheist, the teacher will ridicule the belief of a young person who is in college. And, you know, we pray for our extended families, right? What do we pray for? Well, the first thing will come to mind, I'm sure you would say if I asked you, what do you pray for your family? You probably say, well, I pray that their health, they stay healthy and they're safe and they're able to handle their expenses. And I pray for family harmony, and I pray for the ability to forgive and to be reconciled, and I pray that the kids will come back to the church, and I pray that my grandchildren will be baptized. I mean, these are the things that I've been hearing all my years, many, many years of priesthood. Well, at the beginning of the show, I said, as parents grow older, their prayer for their children takes on a new perspective. Now, why do I say that? Because one of the ways I console parents, as they're doing with older children, is to say this. When your children are young, you have a lot of control and therefore a lot of responsibility. When your children are older, you have next to no control and therefore next to no responsibility. Basically, your responsibility when your children are in their 20s, 30s and up is to pray for them and set a good example and to give them good advice should they come to you for advice. They won't come much to you for advice in the teens because they're trying to establish their own identity. And freedom is very important to them. Sometimes as they get older, they know, they come to realize that their parents have great, great wisdom. Let me read you something written by a man named B.C. Kenny. Within the last couple of weeks, he walked up to me and said, here, I've done some writing, and I think you will like it. And he handed this to me. And when I got home from where I was preaching, I read it. And it's entitled The Parade. And, of course, we dedicate this to parents who have older children now. He writes, everyone loves a parade. Now that our children are grown and are living their own lives, we watch the parade almost every day. When they were youngsters, we were deeply involved in their affairs. We were buying their blue jeans and those overpriced tennis shoes, packing their lunches, going to their ball games, taking them to the dances, and on, as every parent knows. Before we realized it, and much before we wanted it to happen, they were in college. Then the first one got married, and we were quickly into the grandchildren program. It was wonderful, too. But as we grew older, we began to realize that our children, who used to seek our advice on most everything, were now not only making their own decisions, but were making good decisions, too. We were first bothered by this because we just hated letting go. Now we have a new philosophy. We just stand on the curb and watch the parade go by. We still retain the right to shout out praise and applaud the participants. Sometimes we even shout out to them, hey, you're out of step. But the parade just keeps moving on. So now we are content to just stand on the curb and enjoy the parade as it continues going down the street. After all, everyone loves a parade. He has some real insights here, doesn't he? I mean, it's the whole thing of letting go. We like to protect our kids from making mistakes, but usually we learn more from our mistakes than we do from our accomplishments. So in some ways, it is like watching the parade, the parade of our children's life unfold. Occasionally, suggesting things, occasionally telling them the truth that they're out of step. But it becomes very, very important that no matter how old our children are, we have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. And as parents grow older, one of the most important decisions they need to make is when to speak and when to be quiet. You know, knowing that usually allows a relationship with older children to be one that is a precious one, a one that can handle the disagreements without immediately alienating yourself. Here's today's food for thought. Humility is just as much the opposite of self-abasement as it is of self-exaltation. You know who wrote that? Dag Hammarskjöld. He was that famous man who died in a plane crash coming back from a peacekeeping mission in Africa. He was in charge of the United Nations. And he has a lot of truth there. A lot of people think that humility is denying my gifts. Humility is not denying my gifts. Humility is recognizing my gifts, but more importantly, recognizing that the gifts were given to me by God. Okay. Well, who do I want you to pray for? I want you to pray for the men and women in the reserves. Army, Navy, Air Force reserves. These are the people who are trying to live their life in the world, day-to-day responsibilities, but may at any moment when there's a national need be called up to serve their country, to leave their families, to leave their jobs. And so please pray for the men and women in the reserves. And we ask together, God bless them, protect them, and keep them always safe from harm. Okay, now today's small attempt to see if I can make you smile or laugh. An Irishman named Pat loved his liquor and would at times drink to extremes. One day his pastor, Father Ryan, said, "Pat, liquor is your biggest enemy." But Pat thought for a moment and then said to his pastor, "But Father, did you not say last week in your sermon that we should love our enemies?" Pretty good, huh? Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you. I love to hear from my listeners. Just drop me a note, if you will. Tell me what you like about the program. You can send me your prayer intentions, you know. Send them to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And I tell you, I faithfully look at every petition and pray about it. Pray about it as soon as I look at it. I take it to God. You can help me keep my hospital for the very poor and sick open in Oaxaca, Mexico, which is way down south and 320 miles southeast of Mexico City. Named after my mother, she was a great inspiration, the Anna C. Toller Hospital. So you can make a check out if you would. I appreciate your help. To T as in Thomas, T-A-S-H, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And God will bless you for your generosity. And as always, I want to remind you, you can listen to my radio show on the Internet. You can see what resources I have available. There's always humor, a lot of information about my hospital for the poor. Just go to Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord.